Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, how's your dreaming lately? Is it more than you're used to? Is it more unusual than you're used to? A lot of people are saying so. So let's ask someone who can give us some answers about it. Who's someone who I want to introduce him properly because he's a very old friend. I've been friendly with him for over 30 years in New York. He hasn't been in New York in 8 years. He's been living in Singapore, but he was always one of the most knowledgeable people you could go to. And he has a brilliant mind. And so I'm so happy that I can interview him and have him share with us so much of what he knows. Phil Gruber, welcome to Energy Stew.
Hi, Peter. It's great to be here, and it's great to be back in the city. You know, growing up, my parents, especially my father, said, "Oh, Phil, he lives in a dream world. He's a dreamer. He's a dreamer." But
let's hope so.
I hope so too. I never want to stop dreaming. I think the dream has to come first, the desire. Then we dream. Anything we've ever manifested in our lives, for better or worse, has started with the ideation, the idea that we wanted to create something, to manifest something for ourselves. So I would recommend right from the start that people never stop dreaming, never always have the understanding that we can create and recreate ourselves pretty much in any moment with our thoughts. I think that's the great gift we've been given, is the power to manifest with our thoughts. It's a great gift, but it's a great gift that if you don't know how to use it, the ancients always talked about that we have to learn how to think properly, think in a certain way. And even the secret that really continued a conversation that's been going on for thousands, if not millions of years, that we have, it's our thoughts that create the mold or the matrix out of which anything we create in life has its beginnings, in that template that we create, that blueprint with our thoughts, that we project that blueprint into consciousness that hasn't taken shape yet, giving consciousness the ability to begin the process of crystallization. Oh yes, the dreams. Well, dreams, I've been talking to a lot of people, and this is not just in Singapore, this is everywhere I go. It seems that especially in the recent years, people have begun to dream more. And that's not just daydreaming, that's night dreams. They're having very weird dreams or dreaming more, or even to some extent being able to be more lucid and conscious in their dream state. And probably what I feel is even more important, being able to remember their dreams when they wake up. That seems to be a real big part of this too, having more dream recall. And I think a lot of people out there and your listeners can hopefully identify with that, because I think dreams are a very, very important part of who we are.
But why now?
Why now? Because I think it's probably, this is the perfect question, because I think along with people being able to dream more lucidly and remember their dreams, there seems to be something, it's a nagging thing. There's a Greek word called pathos. It's not pathos. Pathos is a longing, an almost transcendent longing, an existential longing that I think we've always felt, but it seems to be coming more to the fore now in wanting to understand who we are, where we come from, and probably most importantly, what are we doing here? Is there a purpose to our lives? A lot of us have lived a lot of our lives, and yes, we levels of success, manifestation, abundance, prosperity. But I think a lot of people are coming into a consciousness, Peter, that aside from all that, everything we've been able to manifest for ourselves and our loved ones, our families, visions of success, you know, that come through our culture and the way we've been socialized, we're wanting something more now. We're asking questions that maybe we asked when we were a lot younger, but then we needed to grow up and we started thinking about things in more practical levels. But I think this is now that we've achieved whatever we've achieved so far in life. Now those questions are coming back, the more the existential questions, the questions that we've always wanted answers to, but didn't know where to go.
And what I was just thinking about these dreams, let's call them enhanced dreams that a lot of people are having, is that I don't know that we should be concerned as much of what the dreams are about, so much as they're introducing us to live more in our subconscious imagination, our intuition, be more in our sensing. Because as we evolve more forward, we're going to be more highly sensitive and less cerebral. And so life will show up in its symbols, in its forms that present to us the instinct to move in different directions.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And it's a great point you brought up, that I think if we're willing to open ourselves up more, there is just a world of sensation and perception out there, and maybe certain levels, dimensionalized levels of perceptual fields that we just simply haven't been open to.
Right.
And I think that's very, very important. For a lot of people, it's a risky. They have lived in a comfort zone for most of their lives. And to have new worlds of expression and perception and experience open up to them, that could be a little bit risky. But I would tell you the rewards of understanding that there are levels that we simply, maybe we've had access to, but didn't understand how to access those levels. And you're right, the dreams, the content may not be as important as maybe the function of dreams is introducing ourselves to perceptual levels that we normally have closed off to. I have a theory that when we dream, and maybe one of the true functions of sleep, that when we dream, our consciousness detaches from its normal three-dimensional focus and goes into some of the lower mid-astrals. And in my work, we understand the higher dimensions is actually future time relative to our present time here, that what exists in the higher dimensions, you say higher selves, angelics, higher identities, they exist relative to us in our future. So I think one of the true functions of dreams is that we can access our future. We can merge with higher, more evolved, expanded. I like the term you used, enhanced. That's a beautiful, beautiful term. There's reality and then there is enhanced reality. I think those levels of perception are always open to us, but now I think they're opening up whether a lot of people even understand it or not.
Right. And that's the point, I think, is that we're being introduced to ourselves, our multidimensional selves, in ways that we've often been closed off to.
Yeah, and to realize that there are these levels that we have always had access to, but because of making a living or just
conditioning,
yeah, culture and even heredity. I don't believe in the primacy of DNA, but certainly if certain things aren't healed or addressed or acknowledged, we're going to inherit certain potentials to express certain traits that generations before us have. I think we have opportunities here that haven't been open to us for enhancement on every level, making life much more. I'm not even sure I know the words to express it, because there are levels, I think, that are very difficult, if not impossible, to express in human language.
All right, so you can use a different language with us.
Can I? Oh, that's okay.
So I do
think in the dream state that our consciousness goes up a few levels, not just into the higher dimensions, but into future time, where we can merge, where we can have communion with future aspects and identities, our own identities that exist in the future. And I think the information we get from the future is very valuable. I mean, nothing is written in stone, but in the dream state, I think you get a more elevated, exalted perspective. you see more, you have more of that elevated perspective. The idea is to bring that back into your waking conscious life so you can make decisions that are more based on being informed. Faith is great, but I do think having the act faith based on knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, I think we can get that higher understanding in the dream state if we can be more lucid in the dream state and not go into the dream state totally unconscious, you know,
But
and we can bring back that information into our waking life.
this brings me
Help
to a
goggles.
question that is very important in this, in the light of what we're talking about, is so who are we? What are
Well,
we?
I have my, I think we're human beings, and I think the human race was created for was designed and formulated and created for very special reasons. I think our lineage as human beings, and I won't get too deep into it, but we can in future calls. I think it began about 560 million years ago with the race that was created in a higher universe. I think in the fifth dimension, there were Pleiadian and Sirian councils. Now, when I talk about the Pleiades, sure, there are these constellations, star systems exist in our three-dimensional universe. But I think when most people, the people that we hang with, talk about the Pleiades, they're talking about fifth-dimensional spaces, Sirius, sixth-dimensional races, Arcturians or Arcturus, seventh-dimensional races. These are harmonics. These are reality fields that exist along with us, but just in different vibrational levels, different frequency bands.
You know, when I ask the universe about my past life, because I'm really, my intuition is good at seeing past lives of people and et cetera. And it's hard when you ask about your own family. And I was asking him about my wife and what past lives have we had together. And they said, oh, yeah, we've been together in a couple of other lifetimes. I'd say, you know, where? And they say, other dimensional. So it's like, that's how I know my wife is other dimensionally. Well, it's hard to ground that and understand the nature of it. But I'm sure at some point when we're done with this life and on the other side, it'll all become very obvious exciting to know more about.
I agree. I totally agree because I think that a lot of these mortal coils that bind us here, if we are biologically phase locked, a lot of people feel that we're born into bondage, the bondage of our three-dimensional bodies. And hopefully, God willing, when we pass over, at least temporarily, we seem to be free. We seem to be out of this sort of bondage or captivity of our three-dimensional biological bodies.
Yeah, people
It's
say we're
temporary.
trapped here, but you know, we choose to be trapped here because we choose to have a lifetime on Earth. Let's call it a prison planet, and we choose to have lifetimes here because of the lessons, the deep soul lessons that bring us greater to love.
We have to learn these lessons, and you're right. We choose to be here, but I think in a lot of cases our ignorance or naivete is enforced upon us. For a lot of people, it's very, very difficult to break free when you have this through culture or conditioning or socialization. You have these limitations imposed on us. And you're right. And what we talked about in the beginning, I think for various reasons, we're breaking free, at least to the extent where we know there's something more out there. And the idea for a lot of people, they're wondering, where do I go to find out more about the things that I suspect now that I feel that there's more to me, to myself, to our purpose here, our connection with each other? Where do we go? Where are the experts? Where
Well,
do we want to
that's
find
good.
that?
You're to me, you're one of them, and
And to
there are
me,
others
you're one of them.
thank you. And there are others that I've interviewed on Energy Stew that are miraculously aware of all of these great questions and have wonderful answers for us. And then there are still some that we're going to grow into, and to be optimistic that we're growing in the right direction. I speak to too many people who are pessimistic about the future because it feels so third dimensionally, you know, brutal right now. And yet I believe everything is in divine order, and whatever we have to go through is for a good reason.
Yeah, I think you're right. There are people the pessimism comes from just people giving up. They look at the world as it is. They watch the news or the news that we're allowed to have access to. Although, again, we're our exposure now, if people are willing to look beyond having a more narrow view or exposing ourselves to or expanding our references or that which we believe or that which has really sort of informed our knowledge base. People need to be willing to take some chances now and explore what it means to be human. We can get into some very, very deep areas about the creation of the original human race, what our purposes were, continue to be, such as being guardians of the planetary stargates on the planet, to be a race of healers, guardians, custodians of these stargates. You know, it gets into some very deep areas, but I think what brings it really down home is more that the true healing of our race is going to come through this whole intergalactic collective, really starting with ourselves, is going to come through an understanding of the common core of creation out of which all these races emerge. And that's going to require some study as things which are all things which are really important, especially in this time. We're at a critical juncture, I believe, in our tenure here as embodied souls. I believe that most of us chose to be here. I don't believe that all of us had the choices that some of us have had. If you die or transition more consciously at the time of your death, or you've prepared in your life for the transition into the Bardo, the Egyptian Tibetan books of the dead were really to help you prepare. If you felt that you had to transition through death and not just simply ascend, there were ways to prepare your mind and your consciousness so that in between lives, you had more of a choice, a greater spectrum of lives and planets to incarnate into, to give your soul more opportunities to increase their, for education, the education of your soul. I believe that you, probably most of the people, if not all the people listening to this broadcast, are members of certain soul groups that did have choice, that increased the chances of us being able to educate our souls for these transitional periods, give us better opportunities.
I think my audience has to be, if you know, they have to be very evolved, because the subject matter of so many of my shows are quite advanced. And so I know that my audience is of this ilk to understand, appreciate dynamic nature of life that most people have no idea about. Except that, you know, dynamic nature means suffering, but I am talking about rising above that in consciousness and understanding that the suffering is just part of the story that we're here for in this life, but we're also here for the story of unfolding into greater, higher consciousness.
This is it. We come from in the Gospel of Mary, Jesus asked Mary Magdalene very specifically, where are your roots? Do you not believe we come from there is a divine blueprint? That there are, do your roots just end here in the earth? Do you just come back for just repeating cycles of incarnation? Is there a higher divine blueprint that was the archetype, that was the model for the human race, that we are here for very specific purposes? We were designed by higher dimensional races, actually higher aspects of ourselves. Our future selves, we're probably the past lives of our, when you talk about past lives, we're probably the past lives of our future selves. When the angelics and the higher selves are having past life regression, it's probably us that they're invoking to make more sense of their lives. It's all time, and it's all, we have multiple identities and multiple universes, multiple dimensions, parallel universes. And I think what's really incumbent upon us if we really want to understand, there are levels of education, levels of acknowledgement, be willing to learn or open ourselves up more to learn about our true heritage, our true genetic galactic heritage. We have a long history, and it's a colorful history, and it's not all, it hasn't been all great. It's triumphs and tragedies. It's elation and suffering.
There's a richness here.
It's a richness that most people, just to touch that richness, to yeah. know that we have a history that's much more involved, much more complex.
Yeah, it's beautiful in many ways and horrible in other ways. I mean, the human tragedy is beyond words through thousands of years. And why would we be put through this? Why do our souls need to suffer so much? And I think it's because on the other side, when you don't have suffering and you look at the transitory nature of each life, you say, oh, I can deal with it. And then we get here and we say, oh, no, I don't think I can.
Hopefully you learn from this. You can go through cycles of incarnation and suffering and not learn from it. I don't believe that if you don't have, let's say, for example, if you don't have the karma, you don't need the lesson. The karma would magnetize these things into your life that you could at least acknowledge that there's something you have to look at or something you have to look at more deeply.
Yeah.
And if it's exploring, as you do, a lot of your work is exploring past lives to make sense of this life,
right,
since it's all really happening at the same time, just in different frequency bands. If you can learn the lesson from it and you can get off those wheels and your life could be more about empowerment and understanding the contracts that we agree to honor when we came. But when we're born, we come into this life, all this parental and God knows how much karma from simultaneous identities comes in and blocks us. We forget the reasons we were here. We forget what our grand purpose is and our overarching purpose.
Yeah, we're just dealing with the suffering.
We're trying to make the rent month to month, you know, And this is why I think we come together now. There's that state of pathos. There's a longing. And now it's coming to the fore again, longing to share our love and our pain. You know that feeling you get? And I know there's a lot of people out there, your heart feels it's expanding and it just can't be contained in one body. And everything is about sharing grief, sharing pain, sharing triumph and love.
People who have like pain, like suffering, can look at each other and be so connected through that. It creates community of people who are mutually suffering, and there's such a shared love in that. It's you know, it's beautiful, and it's too bad it has to happen that way.
Yeah, but I think, and you're right, we people bring it on themselves, but I think it's part naivete, ignorance, sometimes just plain stupidity. And there is, I won't say evil, but there is consciousness that is digressive. Their agendas are really based on ignorance of divine law, divine right order. They think what they're doing is the correct thing for their survival.
Right. And it's horrendous to the rest of us. And so we have to, you know, become warriors for ourselves to make progress, and at the same time not be caught up in the emotional conflict of it, but come at it from a higher place of power and transformation.
All our dramas of human, even extra meta ultra terrestrial evolution, they're simply states of experience we pass through on our journey through time. And while we're stationed in these dramas, you know, you find yourself in the thick of it, but through the cognition of states that maybe we can call unity consciousness, self-realization, Christ consciousness, through that level of cognition, we can all find our unity and the original innocence, I believe, in purity, the purity of being out of which all of us, all human races, ET, meta-terrestrial races have emerged. If we can find that common core, not that separates us, but the elements that unite us.
Find it through love.
And we find it through love, because nothing, love, forgiveness, gratitude, these I think are the final blocks. Maybe they're the final blocks to being to freedom, to true freedom, true returning to innocence.
Right. Right.
Our true identity.
To know the oneness, to understand the oneness nature. And it's hard to understand it cerebrally. It really has to be a feeling of connectedness and a mutual reality that we're in with other souls to make progress.
And I think one of the things, the practical things that we can do even in this first segment, is understanding the nature of forgiveness, because I do think it's one of the greatest, if not the last hurdle to being freed of these mortal
forms. Well, it's more than forgiving others. It's mostly forgiving ourselves for
it's got to start. It's you're right. It's got to start. It's got to start there. How effective can you be as a healer, a facilitator, a planetary grid worker, a peacemaker?
Well,
you've got to
then,
come to that peace with yourself first.
Yeah, but it's all really about how we're struggling through this third dimension, and to be able to forgive ourselves for just being in such a limited reality.
Well, that's it. We were here to try to make the changes. But some changes, we become these changes we're trying to correct.
Well, yeah, we're still in third dimension, and we have own up to that.
But wouldn't you agree that even within these limitations, there are such divine potentials? There is the love that knows no earthly bounds. We can touch that love through opening our hearts, forgiving ourselves, and to understanding that the nature of forgiveness had nothing to do with blame. You know, if through a naivete or ignorance, or like I said before, just plain stupidity, you feel that you were violated or you allowed yourself to be
but we
violated.
Don't know, and we don't know the divine order, so maybe the violation was actually a great gift that brings you into a more beautiful future and by healing it.
I hope so. If we recognize it as the gift that we were given, to be able to see it as it was,
yes,
to expand ourselves.
So Phil, we're really at the end of the show, and I'd like the audience to know how they can reach you. And you did say that your email address is the best way. Phil Gruber, Gruber, 153@hotmail.com.
That's correct.
That's wonderful. And it's so great talking with you, and we'll be talking again, because I love our conversations. Thanks so much.
I hope so too. Thank you again, Peter. Lots of love to you.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.live. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org. I'd love to hear from you, and thanks so much for listening.